Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively, FedEx. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it Protect Her?
It's Protect Her.
Right, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
there. We listened to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Tuesday, T-Boy Tuesday, August 8th, and today's pod is the best one yet. It is a T-Boy.
Today's show really is a T-Boy.
Oh, this one just feels like the absolute best one we've ever done, Jack.
For our first story, Zoom just made the most awkward and ironic announcement of the year.
Zoom is bringing employees back to the Zoom office.
Yeah. For our second story, Warren Buffett is 92 years old and just had the best financial quarter of his life.
Warren Buffett. Buffett also just told us who his favorite child is.
And our third and final story is the Pac-12. This college athletic conference is about to collapse.
But Jack and I think the Pac-12 can actually become the Mac-12.
The Mac-12.
Somebody write that down. We got to copyright that, by the way, Jack.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix.
We really should trademark that pretty soon, Jack, actually.
Hello, is this Mr. Jack or Mr. Nick who I'm speaking with?
I'd like to talk to you about your vehicle's extended warranty.
Before we begin the phone call, can you just remind me of the first 9 digits of your social security number?
And then the 3-digit code on the back of that credit card. I'll hold. We've got time.
Yetis, robocalls. We all have to deal with them.
Turns out 2,000 robocalls are made in this country every single second.
But fantastic news for everyone except the robocallers.
Yeah, this is wild.
The FCC is finally going after those pesky, schemey, annoying robocallers.
Get this. The FCC just imposed a record $300 million fine on those robocallers.
What a huge fine for such a big landline.
This is the largest telephone fine we've ever heard of. Literally.
Yetis, according to the FCC's press release, this was an international network of companies that made 5 billion robocalls to more than 500 million phone numbers in 1 year.
Jack, this global network of phone scammers sounds like a Bond villain over there.
The 5 billion calls that they made came from 1 million different caller ID numbers.
Classic robocall strategy. That way, you can't block their numbers, can you?
Oh, and the majority of those calls, they were asking you about your car's extended limited warranty.
What do we got to do to get you into this new Honda lease?
Oh, Nick, hold up. That's me.
Oh, wait, Jack, don't what? Pick that up. What? Don't what? Pick it up. Don't.
I already pushed accept.
The reason of this call is to inform you that IRS is filing a lawsuit on your name because...
Is that Carol from accounting?
Sounds like a nice lady, to be honest.
Yetis, if you want to see our phone history, check out at T-Boy Pod. Jack and I just whipped it up for you.
Yeah, we publicly showed you our robocall history. You should check it out.
There's one dude in the Philippines I've just really built a relationship with, Jack.
Let's hit that 3 stories. 15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick.
sent. That's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show.
For our first story, Zoom just delivered the most ironic twist of a business story we've seen this year.
Zoom is telling its employees to return to the office.
Zoom is anti-Zoom right now.
Zoom, the first tech company that made it socially acceptable to give a quarterly presentation from the couch with your cat.
Zoom made it so you could show up Monday morning and not have pants, and that was okay because no one had pants.
Zoom stock was the OG pandemic winner.
Zoom, it basically became a COVID cliche. It was the COVID cliche.
The stock jumped 700% in 2020 to a ridiculously high all-time high.
Yeah, and since then, Jack?
It's fallen by 90%. The stock today is lower than it was before the pandemic began.
Zoom has lost $100 billion in market value since you first got a vaccination.
But Zoom has a solution to fixing Zoom, the company.
Yes, it does. And it's a pretty fascinating solution, isn't it, Jack?
Zoom is ordering its employees to return to the office, to stop Zooming into work.
That's the news, Yetis. All Zoom employees within a 50-mile radius of a Zoom office must come into that office at least twice a week.
No more Zooming into work. Zoom is work from now on.
It is literally the most ironic story we have seen the entire year, Yetis.
Apparently, a fully Zooming workforce couldn't help Zoom Zoom anymore.
Zoom, Zoom, master.
Zoom's business depends on remote work, and yet they're limiting remote work.
They're doing a full 180 at Zoom on Zoom.
Now, Yetis, this does bring up a bigger story, which is that hybrid work has officially beaten remote work.
Yep, that's the early takeaway here, Yetis, because Zoom's PR team basically said that when they announced this news yesterday.
Zoom said this yesterday. Hybrid is the most effective choice for Zoom.
In fact, Zoom specifically cited the need to innovate in person as their reason for bringing employees back to the office.
Yeah, apparently a fully Zooming workforce couldn't help Zoom Zoom anymore.
It was unzoomable over at Zoom.
And Nick and I agree because Zoom hasn't had a breakout product since Zoom.
And Jack and I went through the earnings reports. Zoom's innovation has been MIA year after year now.
Now, back in 2020, we did a story on this pod about a new Zoom product.
Yes, we did. The new Zoom hardware monitor. And Jack, how is that new Zoom hardware monitor doing?
It was a monitor built in with a camera just for Zoom calls, like over here, and then you do work over here. I haven't heard a thing about that monitor.
We haven't covered it in 2 years yet. That kind of says the whole story right there.
Now, overall, this story reflects the reality that most companies are doing some kind of a return to office policy.
BlackRock and finance, Amazon and tech, even the federal government is bringing people back from fully remote work right now.
But we're not here to debate work from office versus work from home.
In fact, Jack and I think that is besides the point.
Instead, we have a hilarious and amazing takeaway.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Zoom in the conference room right now?
The CEO should be the ultimate power user.
Yet he's a good CEO uses the product, but a great CEO preaches the product.
Even when it's not practical, realistic, or even possible, the CEO uses the product beyond a reasonable doubt.
Totally beyond reason. For example, Airbnb CEO, he spent a year living and working from Airbnbs this year.
Was he as productive working from some random Airbnb?
Probably not.
But did it illustrate the potential of Airbnb?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, the Zoom CEO may be right. Maybe the company's innovation has suffered in a fully remote situation.
But it probably would have benefited Zoom long term if they'd made 100% remote work optional.
Because you're not going to do the Atkins diet if you learn that Dr. Atkins is a big sourdough bread guy.
Yeah. And you're not going to buy an electric car if you hear the CEO is driving a gas guzzler on the weekends.
It's simply good marketing if a company practices what it preaches and preaches what it sells.
And that is why the CEO should be the ultimate power user.
And it's why Zoom should probably be more comfortable with Zooming.
For our second story, at 92 years old, Warren Buffett just had his best quarter ever.
But even Warren has a weakness, and his weakness is the Geico Gecko.
Warren Buffett. Yeah, his birthday is coming up in 3 weeks, but Warren Buffett was actually born during the Great Depression.
Warren Buffett was born when Babe Ruth was still hitting home runs for the Yankees.
Warren Warren Buffett was born before KFC was a company.
But yet he's back when Warren was 40 years old. 52 years ago, he founded Berkshire Hathaway.
Berkshire Hathaway, the investment firm that he still runs to this very day.
Since that day, he has signed his name at the end of 160 quarterly earnings reports.
But yet he's the latest earnings report from Berkshire Hathaway was their best one yet. Truly.
Berkshire just announced on Saturday $36 billion in quarterly profits.
That's a record. And a big reason why? Well, it's actually pretty simple. Berkshire Hathaway's portfolio of stocks went up.
Berkshire Hathaway owns $175 billion of Apple stock.
Like, they own $175 billion just of Apple. And how's Apple doing right now, Jack?
And just that one company is up 40% this year, which in turn has shot Berkshire stock up big this year, too.
Yetis, get this. Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's investment firm, is now the eighth most valuable company in America. It's worth $800 billion.
That's more than Tesla. That's more than Walmart. That's more than JPMorgan Chase.
Don't even get us started on the number of those.
But the other highlight for this 92-year-old man from Omaha...
Yes, Jack?
It stems from a decision he made when he was 21 years old. And that decision... was Geico.
Yetis, this is what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. Warren Buffett is the man who pulls the strings over at Geico, the insurance company.
In 1951, when Babe Ruth was retired, and this 92-year-old was only 21 years old, Warren Buffett fell in love with Geico.
In fact, this was wild. Jack and I love this. Warren Buffett once called Geico the stock I love the most.
When he was 21, he said that. So when he was CEO of Berkshire Hathaway years later, he invested in Geico and eventually bought the whole company outright.
Okay, then Warren Buffett went even further. Warren Buffett then called Geico his favorite child. Oh, and by the way, this guy has kids.
Like real human kids.
He has actual human people.
But Geico is his favorite child because it's been Berkshire Hathaway's consistent profit puppy for decades.
Yet he's in the last quarter. One third of Berkshire Hathaway's operating profit came from one industry and one industry only.
Insurance.
Insurance.
Geico brings in $40 billion a year in revenue, which is about the same amount of revenue as Coca-Cola.
You don't have to be a Neanderthal and you don't have to be an Australian reptile to recognize why Warren Buffett loves Geico.
That's why Warren loves Geico. That's why it's Warren's baby.
But Warren Buffett's baby also has a funny problem right now, doesn't it, Jack?
Bit of a growth problem.
Yeah, a bit. Of a growth problem. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Geico?
The most important place to be in marketing is top of mind.
Yeah, here's the problem facing Geico. Last year, the number of Geico auto insurance policies actually fell by nearly 3 million.
The reason Geico lost nearly 3 million customers? Less Gecko. That's why.
Less Gecko. It looks like we're experiencing a negative ROG, aren't we, Jack?
A negative return on Gecko.
And here's why, besties. Back in 2021 and 2022, Geico spent less money on TV ads. So there were less Geico Gecko commercials.
As a result, when 2.7 million people said, I need car insurance, they didn't call Geico.
And they didn't save up to 15% on their car insurance, and they didn't do it in 15 minutes or less.
This one statistic shows the importance of marketing and advertising. Without it, you're not top of customers' minds.
And if you're not top of mind, then somebody else is.
Like Flo from Progressive.
And that is why in marketing, the most important place to be is top of mind.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yetis, how good is the feeling of finally getting something off your chest?
You've been wanting to say it. You've been waiting to say it.
But you bottled it up.
In Waspy, Vermont, where I grew up, we didn't talk much about our problems. We were encouraged to keep them to yourself.
Yetis, bottling up your feelings is just horrible for you because eventually it blows up with an outburst. And then while it's stewing, it makes your whole stomach feel terrible.
We encourage you to get it off your chest. And the perfect place to do that is therapy.
You will not believe how good it feels to say something that has been left unsaid and you can practice with a therapist and then end up telling your loved ones the best way possible later on.
You don't have to tell them, but you could. It's 100% up to you. Oh, and by the way, what you tell your therapist remains completely confidential.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/T-Boy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/T-Boy. Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. For our third and final story, the Pac-12 Athletic Conference is getting abandoned. It's on the brink of collapse.
It's a sad story. But the one thing the Pac-12 still has is Big Tech alumni.
And the one solution to the Pac-12 could be
the Mac-12.
The Mac-12. But Yetis, we got to sprinkle on a little context here. First, when our parents were growing up, the Pac-12, it dominated basketball.
UCLA won 10 out of 12 national championships in the 60s and 70s.
Then when Jack and I were growing up, the Pac-12 dominated football.
USC, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, couple of national championships in the 2000s.
For 100 years, the Pac-12 was the dominant overall conference in college sports, and the numbers prove it.
The Pac-12 has won 553 national championships across all the sports. The second best conference, 200.
The Pac-12 is the Ivy League of college athletes.
Hey, whoa. Hold your horses over there, Nicholas.
But Yetis, today, the iconic Pac-12 Athletic Conference is suddenly on the brink of collapse.
It started last year when UCLA and USC ditched the Pac-12 to join the Midwest Big Ten.
And then it got worse last week when 6 more teams ditched the Pac-12 and joined other leagues instead.
The Pac-12 is like Woody right now in Toy Story when Buzz arrived.
Totally. You're making me sad here, Jack.
It's been abandoned by the shinier, newer thing.
I'm going to start crying on my eye black, man.
And that shinier thing is money. The draw of big TV money from the Big Ten and the SEC is no match for the history and tradition of the Pac-12.
So Yetis, Jack and I were looking at this story and we realized there is a question right now, and a very important question.
What's going to happen to the 4 remaining universities that are still in the Pac-12?
Is there any kind of value that can still be salvaged from the 4 remaining schools out of 12?
Yetis, the Pac-12 is now the Pac-4.
Who we got, Jack?
There's just Cal, Berkeley, Stanford, Oregon State, and Washington State.
If ever there were a league to go vegan, this would be the league that goes vegan, Jack.
Nick, these 4 schools in the northern West Coast, that's not enough to cobble together an athletic conference. 4 is just not enough. Unless,
guess who happens to be rumored to be interested in the Pac-12 streaming rights?
None other than Apple.
Yeah, that Apple.
And another thing these schools have? Their alumni base is awash with big tech CEOs.
Yeah, sure. Stanford produced Tiger Woods, Katie Ledecky, John Elway, and Christian McCaffrey over on the playing fields.
But Stanford also produced Steve Jobs, Reed Hastings, Elon Musk, Evan Spiegel.
Over in the boardrooms.
Yetis, we're talking about Google, Apple, Tesla, Snapchat, Netflix, LinkedIn.
Yeah, Stanford and Cal, those are their feeder schools.
We think the Pac-12 should be the first conference to truly embrace tech and make their techie alumni very happy.
And Jack and I have actually whipped up a whole plan on how they could do it. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies who are competing over in college sports?
The Pac-12 should become the Mac-12.
Yetis, every streamer right now is competing to get the rights to the big sports leagues.
But those big sports leagues, they have cable-first deals, and their deals are crazy expensive.
Okay, so here's what we're thinking. Instead, these 4 tech-savvy West Coast schools should be the first ones to go streaming first.
The Pac-12 should sell their TV rights to Apple and then rename themselves the Mac-12.
The Mac-12! Look, Apple just did a really similar thing by buying the rights to Major League Soccer.
Apple has transformed Major League Soccer.
They did.
Apple bought low by investing in a smaller pro sports league at a cheap price.
Then Apple uplifted the MLS by enticing Lionel Messi to come play there.
Apple could use the same strategy with the Pac-12. Be the one conference that's digital first, easy to watch.
Become the only conference where players and schools have equity upside in a TV streaming deal.
The Pac-12 seems destined to collapse right now.
Unless it joins with Apple to become the Mac-12. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for T-Boy Tuesday?
Zoom's anti-Zoom work from the office 2 days a week policy sends a bad message to the market.
Because the CEO should be the ultimate power user.
For our second story, Berkshire Hathaway had its best quarter ever, even though Geico is struggling.
Because the most important place to be in marketing is top of mind.
And our third and final story, 8 of the Pac-12 schools have left the Pac-12. It seems destined to collapse.
So the Pac-12 should sell its TV rights to Apple and become the Mac-12.
But this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, for the first time since the AIDS outbreak 40 years ago, the Red Cross is ending its ban on blood donations from gay and bisexual men.
Instead, the risk of AIDS will be assessed for all potential donors.
And second, Tesla's chief financial officer, who Elon calls the master of coin, is leaving the company right before the Cybertruck.
Maybe now he has time to referee the cage match between Zuck and Elon, if that ever happens.
And finally, a mint condition first generation iPod just sold for $29,000.
If you have a first edition Game Boy from 1996, we'd like a word with you.
A, B, A, B, A, B.
Up, down, up, down, up, down. Were you blowing into the cassette?
Yeah, I was blowing into the cassette.
Now time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by Elise Rikita from lovely McKinney, Texas.
King Charles is a big fan of sustainable innovation.
Yeah, and King Charles is also a fan of really expensive cars.
So His Majesty has a custom vintage Aston Martin car that runs on leftover wine and cheese.
No joke, they throw wine and cheese into this thing. True story, the car runs on bioethanol for 51 years now. That's been its fuel.
The staff says that the car smells like the Olive Garden.
But the emissions are not endless. Yetis, you look fantastic for T-Boy Tuesday. And remember, if you want to help grow the pod, turn to the buddy next to you and just say, can I talk to you about your Suzuki's extended warranty?
Oh, you blocked my number? Cute kid.
Jack and I will call you on a different number tomorrow. And before we go, congratulations to Yeti Danny Fritz, who just graduated at the age of 38 and is getting his CFA.
And a big congratulations to JNCO, who is an OG market snacker that just got a new job in New York City.
And Dev Smolinski, congratulations on the new book coming out today called Brain On to Optimize Your Brain.
Congrats to the Zodax team in Los Angeles for a job well done.
And a happy birthday to legendary Yeti Jonah Faye Hurwitz, who is branding Brooklyn over in Brooklyn.
Happy birthday to Jim Saliba in San Jose.
And Vedant Raul, happy birthday down the street in San Francisco.
And Santoshi Mona, happy birthday near Pier 39 in San Francisco.
And happy birthday to Jamie DeFlip, who's celebrating that birthday by watching their favorite band ever.
Jimmy Eat World. Great choice. This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon and Berkshire Hathaway, and Nick and I both own stock of Airbnb and Apple.
Is that Carol from accounting?
Sounds like a nice lady, to be honest. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile and get fiber-powered internet at home and unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. So whether you're playing a game at home,
yes, goal,
or attending one live,
goal,
you can do more without spending more. Learn how to save at cox.com/internet. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Cox Mobile runs on the network with unbeatable 5G reliability as measured by Ookla LLC in the U.S. 2H 2023. Results may vary, not an endorsement. Other restrictions apply.